Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has saved you." 10 wretched men met Jesus in that nameless village in the no man's land along the Galilee-Samaria border. There's no reason for us to think that their cry for mercy was anything but a miserable but sincere and heartfelt plea for help. They addressed Jesus from a distance, as was appropriate, but urgently, pathetically, even desperately, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." If they were going to be helped, it would have to be by an act of pure mercy, for they were, as lepers, beyond the reach, beyond the touch of ordinary human kindness, cut off from the duties and care of ordinary human contact and responsibilities. Their disease not only sickened them, it contaminated them. It made them an infection that threatened all who came near to them. They had no place among ordinary healthy people. All 10 cried out to Jesus for mercy. All 10 looked to him for help beyond all human hope. All 10 heard his instruction in keeping with Levitical regulations to go and show themselves to the priest to be certified again as cleansed. They were all, and all 10 obeyed Jesus, took Jesus at his word, even at this amazing proleptic promise, and they were cleansed and healed as they were on the way. To all appearances, all 10 received exactly the same mercy from Jesus, the same compassion, the same healing word of promise and hope and restoration. It's a familiar text and a great text. It's a wonderful picture. It's hard to stand on the sidelines and as mere spectators or observers as we read this story in the gospel. We find ourselves being drawn in. We find ourselves standing there among the lepers, crying out for mercy and receiving the Lord's word of promise and his power of healing. They are us, right? And here we are, returning to give praise to God, but still maybe glancing over our shoulder at those others who were mercied and helped and healed the same as us, but who never turned and stopped to thank the one who restored them and gave them their lives back. What's with those guys? But our role in the story doesn't really stay put, does it? There are days, my friends, when you and I have to be numbered with the 9. You know it, and I know it. Our cries for help are real enough. The troubles from which we beg rescue are not imaginary troubles, they're real. Our suffering, the threats that face us, the catastrophes that loom over us in life are all real enough. We look to Jesus to rescue us from one thing or another, from ultimate disaster or from penultimate disaster. And he does. And as soon as we escape the impending disaster or the looming crisis has passed, our prayers dry up, and we go our merry way. Yes, we're drawn into this story because our own thankless lives are right in the crosshairs here too. It's very interesting if you browse around looking for comments on this text. It's amazing how many people focus on the obedience of the lepers as if they contributed something to their healing by going when Jesus told them to go. And such a reading is generally accompanied by the exhortation for us to likewise obey Jesus, to obey Jesus' word as a precondition for receiving his blessings. But this story is not about their obedience, either their obedience or ours. On the other hand, we might be more likely to read the story from the end, you see, and focus just on the one who returned to give thanks. Suppose that the 90% of cleansed lepers that day who didn't come back were somehow defective in their cries for mercy from the start, that they never actually had true faith in the first place. We want to measure the genuineness of the one man's faith by his demonstration of gratitude, and then by implication, of course, certify the genuineness of our true faith by imitating him. Our thoughts on this score can be more than a little self-congratulatory. At least we get it. We're here, right? Here in chapel. Here at this place, studying for a life of grateful service to the one who saves us. You see, one way or the other, we really want to use this story to answer one of our favorite questions: why some and not others? But listen, this story doesn't answer that question. It's not about how well we obey Jesus in order to get his blessings. The nine obeyed both Jesus and the Torah, but we're missing out on the best gift that Jesus offered. It's not about gauging our loud expressions of gratitude like an audible barometer of genuine faith. For all I know, the nine had faith in Jesus too. He never said they didn't. And it's not as if he took their cleansing away when they didn't come back and made them lepers again. It's not about that. It is neither our obedience in advance nor our gratitude afterwards that saves us, but faith that looks to Jesus before, during, after. This is about Jesus, who has mercy and heals and forgives and saves with reckless, all-embracing generosity. The lepers were looking for cleansing of their horrible physical disease. That's what they wanted from Jesus, and they got what they were looking for. But from Jesus' point of view, that healing was really only part of his search for them, and not the final or most important part of the search. Never mind what they were looking for. What's he looking for? He is the one who comes to seek and to save the lost. He is the seeker, like the woman who sweeps her whole house looking for one lost coin, like the shepherd who will not accept a 1% loss from his flock, like the father who will not rest until he reclaims and reconciles and welcomes his lost sons. Jesus is the hound of heaven in loving, determined pursuit of you and me to bring us something greater than a healed body here or there. Something that saves rather than salves. Something that feeds us more than a few baskets of bread and fish. This is about Jesus, because Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He has time and heart and mercy and power to cleanse a few lepers along the way, of course, but he has, so to speak, bigger fish to fry, even for them. He will not stop along his road until he has finished what he came to do, until he has not just treated the symptoms like leprosy or blindness by the road on the way to Jericho or Zacchaeus and his dishonesty. He will not stop until he has not just treated the symptoms, but really cured the disease of sin by his own death and cleansed the pollution with his own blood. All 10 of the lepers from No Man's Land were cleansed and healed of their leprosy. Only one foreigner, one Samaritan, was, as Jesus put it, found to return and give praise to God. To only one of the ex-lepers did the Lord say that his faith had not only cleansed and healed him, but saved him. But that's what he wanted to say to all of them. He was looking for all of them. Let's hear his questions as real questions. Where are the rest? Weren't they healed too? I'm looking for them too. I'm going to Jerusalem for them. Same as for you. Jesus wanted each and every one of them, each and every one of us, to receive not just the physical benefits of healing and the relief of being restored to life. He wanted them to be forgiven. He wants them and us to look to him as Savior and Redeemer, not just emergency healer and divine crisis manager. So, in obedience to his word, we gather here. But such obedience on our part is nothing to write home about. It's never a precondition for his blessing. We do pray and praise and give thanks. But our prayers and praise and thanksgiving don't elevate our status or our significance in the Lord's eyes. And neither do our thanks too often unsaid bar us from his table today. What matters here and now for you and me is that our Lord has had mercy on us, has sought us and found us as he seeks and saves all the lost, that he has gone to Jerusalem for us, has freed and restored us with his own pain and death and rising again. Don't worry about the other 9 anymore now. Here and now, we who have received mercy return to praise the God who saves. Your faith in him has saved you. We stand together and confess that faith in our Lord.